The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We've got the first bowl game of the season today. It's Appalachian State taking on North Texas in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. That's today, 2:30 Eastern. It's on ESPN, and you can watch it on the ESPN app. And we are revved up today on this Monday after the busiest football weekend of the year. We have all the college stuff coming your way in this coming hour, as well as, of course, a full rundown on all your NFL action in this hour of Get Up, which is brought to you, as always, from live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Greeny and Rex, Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark are ready to go. Here comes the menu. It's time to get up with the best player in football in a showdown with the best defense, and why we very well might see it again in the Super Bowl. Then, if you're asking, why do Brady's Bucks start so slow and then get great answers? The great answer is simple. Do not miss it, as it will decide everything. And then, Carson Wentz. He didn't like what we said about him in the first hour, but we're going back over it again as we are jam-packed on this Monday as we get up with you on ESPN. And it starts with the game of the night. Dan Orlovsky, we had Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees scoring off for the first time in their careers. Brees coming back from all the injuries, and he looked rusty in the early going.
Just hesitant. That receiver's trying to get off press man coverage, Greeny. It's a great job by that defensive backup, beating him up. That ball floats, and it's an early turnover for the Saints offense.
And they would turn that into a touchdown. It was 7-0, and then it becomes 14-0 on a flip to Kelsey.
Yeah, I just love the tempo, the quick snap. Get to line of scrimmage, you kick that ball out to Kelsey, blockers out front, 14-0 Chiefs.
So it's 14-7, and we're inside the final half minute of the half, and there's no reason in the world DeMarcus Robinson should be fielding this punt at all, and then watch what happens.
Just careless with the football right here. You cannot do this. Ball gets punched out, and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh, this is great for the Saints. Anzalone, you've been taught forever. Turn on your side, slide, and just cradle that football in the fetal position. It'd be a touchdown, New Orleans. That's why you play defense. Fall on it, punches out, just becomes a safety.
It's 2 points instead of potentially 7, and so it's 14-9. But Brees starts to cook in the second half. I love this play.
This is outstanding protection, and then patience by Drew Brees. Latavius Murray leaks out, and then just that touch pass gets him out in space. And finally, the Saints offense gets in the end zone.
They go for the two. They don't get it. So it's 15-14, and then here come the Chiefs. Dan, how do you describe this play?
Silence. That's the best play. I mean, the ability to just drift. Look at that throw, that touch on that throw, and then Hardman scraping his feet, that left leg toe drag swag. My boy Nate Burleson, touchdown Chiefs.
That's just unbelievable. So it's 21-15 Kansas City, and now they're running the option.
Just a late pitch. You know, you put that defender, the defensive end in conflict, and then there's just awareness and space of Patrick Mahomes to get that late pitch, touchdown Chiefs.
29-15 Kansas City ball game, right? Wrong. Here comes Alvin Kamara. Saints not going away.
Little kick to him on that jet sweep. Blockers out front. 41 needs to get as many touches as possible for the Saints.
29-22 is the score. Now, bad moment, Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes down. It's a high ankle sprain. Adam Schefter is reporting they expect to miss him now for the rest of the regular season. They wind up kicking a field goal. It's 32-22. Brees, in a hurry, gets them back into the end zone here on a beautiful strike.
Yeah, you got a seam route versus man coverage. You got to take a little trajectory and tempo off that ball and give your guy a chance.
They kick it away instead of the onside, and then the four-minute, Rex, no one does it like they do.
No, of course they throw the ball in that four-minute when every other team in the league is going to run it every snap.
Yeah, that was their first down they needed, and then this one ends it here as it's Le'Veon Bell, who may have to carry more of the load the rest of the way without Edwards-Helaire. Patrick Mahomes, 254 and three touchdowns. Brees threw three touchdowns as well, and it is Kansas City holding on for a three-point win. Drew Brees finishes the day completing 44% of his passes, third lowest in his career, his worst since 2006. Began the game 0 for 6 with an interception. Again, he's coming back from 11 broken ribs and a punctured lung. And so clearly a little bit of rust. We see it early. And so, Rex Ryan, I come to you to begin the conversation on that thought. Was it the right call to start Drew Brees yesterday?
It absolutely was the right call. And it was the right call to leave him in. Because quite honestly, I was sitting back going, as awful as he was, because he was make no mistake, he was absolutely awful in that first quarter. And I'm like, oh, please, you got to go to Taysom Hill. He's not ready. No. He needed to get hit. And what we saw is later in the game, he got better and better. So that was a perfect scenario for him. Get in there, man. Take those hits and understand, you know, he came out of it, I'm sure. He's way more confident than he certainly went into the game. So I think it's a good thing going forward for New Orleans.
Let's talk about confidence, Ryan Clark. Do you believe the Saints walked out of that stadium yesterday more or less confident in their chances of winning the Super Bowl?
I think they're more confident, right? You stood across from the champs and you went blow for blow in the middle of the ring without being at your best. You know, you got an injury during your training camp. And if you were playing anybody other than Willie Beeman, you might have been okay. Like, that dude is extraterrestrial that plays quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. You remember when Willie Beeman, like, he was like, they ain't gonna touch me. They ain't even gonna see me. Like, that's who Patrick Mahomes is. Like, I'm from Louisiana, obviously. And so I'm on all these group texts with people who love the Saints. And they were all like, oh my goodness, the Saints pressure is gonna be a big deal today. I was like, man, Patrick Mahomes, I don't even see them people. And like, if you watch them, they're chasing him and they're hitting him and they're turning the football over. And they're keeping this team in the game defensively when your quarterback is as mortal as he's ever been. He looked 41. He looked like he had 11 cracked ribs. He looked like he had cartilage issues. But then even he got it going. And you found ways in every phase to keep your team in the game. You were just playing a team that could do stupid stuff. You were playing a team that had Dan Orlovsky quiet, that had Dan Orlovsky lost for words because of what they can do. The New Orleans Saints understand that they are the best team in the NFC. They have the best defense. They have a quarterback that's been there. They aren't scared of anyone in that conference. And I think yesterday helped them feel that way.
Dan, you have been itching all morning long to show us some tape on Patrick Mahomes. Take it.
Yeah, Greeny, there's no one as talented but also that does the little things as good as Mahomes and this Kansas City Chiefs football team. This is the play that's coming out of the two-minute warning, right? It's second and eight. The ground and pound king, Rex Ryan himself, said everyone's going to run the football. The Chiefs go, no, we're not. We're going to come out and throw the football, and everyone pay attention. This is going to be the bunch set right here. It's going to be that little flash fake to Travis Kelce. It's a great throw by Mahomes, and it gets them that first down. I think it's a huge play to win that game, but I want to everyone to see the back angle, because this is what matters. Now, in this bunch set, you're going to get man-to-man coverage. You've got him, and everyone focus on Malcolm Jenkins and Travis Kelce. Those are the two guys to focus on in this play. One of the reasons why this Chiefs offense is so good is they play at different speeds than everybody. Physically, they're faster than everybody. But then mentally, they slow the game down as well as anybody in the NFL. I told you it's man-to-man coverage. RC knows this. In man-to-man coverage, Malcolm Jenkins' job is to keep his eyes on Travis Kelce. Kelce knows that. He knows that Malcolm Jenkins has got to keep his eyes in man-to-man coverage on me. Now, pay attention to Kelce at the snap, because the little thing that he does to impact Malcolm Jenkins is huge. Now, everyone at home, pay attention to this, because it's very small and finite, but it has huge impact. You're going to see Kelce right now in this two-point stance. At the snap, he's going to pop up like this and go to the defensive end. Watch the impact on Malcolm Jenkins. That pop-up right there. Now, Jenkins right now has his eyes on Travis Kelce. Once he pops up, he brings his eyes into the backfield. He takes his eyes off his man, and the run fake is going right there. That's step number one. You now, Kelce, you've won your rep. Now watch step number two, because this is actually good by the Saints. This defensive end's job is to smash Kelce. Don't let him get into his route concept. Kelce going to go on a little bit of a diet here. Watch. He's going to get skinny to avoid that contact and make sure you get into your route. Watch Kelce right here and how he's able to get skinny. Look at that. That dip underneath to avoid the impact. That's outstanding by Kelce because he's smart, right? Slows the game down. And the third thing is this. I mean, this man is 6'7", okay? That's a tough throw for a quarterback. He's 6'7" with an 8-foot reach or so with a little bit of a jump. Watch the touch. Just a beautiful touch by Patrick Mahomes to get the ball over that head. Like, look at that. That's so well done. Mm-hmm. Look at that little touch throw. That ball's got to get up over that defender, and it becomes a first down conversion for the Chiefs. This team is spectacular when they need to be great. Their talent is amazing, but their mind is just as good.
Here they are, the defending Super Bowl champs, and they are 13-1. Dan, outstanding. Thank you. Meanwhile, let's go on the clock here. Everyone's got something to say. I got 30 seconds for everyone to say it. Rex, I'm starting with you. The Washington football team yesterday, what did you think of their game plan with Dwayne Haskins as their quarterback? Go.
Absolutely awful. it was their game plan. You throw 55 times with Dwayne Haskins. How about throwing it 15 times with this guy? This is not Joe Theismann, all right? He can't hit anybody. We've seen that ever since you drafted it, when all you draft experts was telling me how great this guy was. And I'm like, I don't see it. Well, you know what? He can't see it either. He can't hit anybody. So don't throw it 55 times, man. If you want to win, run the football, play defense. Let him throw 15 times and let's say good job doing.
And in a game in which your defense only allowed 20 points, I agree. That winds up being very curious. It's not like they were in a shootout all day long. Okay, RC is next. Mitchell Trubisky leading the Bears to a win over the Vikings, leading some to wonder if he should have been starting all along. 30 seconds, RC. What's your take?
Well, shoot, in hindsight, yes, because Nick Foles was trash. Like, obviously, you look back on it now and you say you were 3-1. Mitchell Trubisky wasn't playing terribly. Why not start him? But this is the Mitchell Trubisky you have to have. You have to have a guy that Matt Nagy allows to use his legs, use his athleticism. Also, now he has the confidence that, you know what, I'm probably not going to be replaced. And so, at least for now, this is a guy who looks like he could sneak you in to the playoffs. But the problem is he your quarterback of the future? It doesn't matter if he should have been starting all season. It matters about how you feel about him going forward.
Yeah, they've already made the decision not to pick up his fifth-year option. So there's a lot left to play out in that. Dan, yours is the Browns. They beat the Giants last night. What was your takeaway from Baker Mayfield? 30 seconds,
Where's
go.
Where's my boy Swagoo at? Where's my guy? I told you Baker was going to play good this year. 25 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Looks in complete control of what he wants to do with the football. Think of the difference a year makes. Last year was panicky, frantic, no plan. This year it's confident, knowing exactly what the defense is and where the ball needs to get delivered, and he's a surgeon. This team is 10-4. Baker Mayfield last night completed 85% of his passes. He is playing on a different level this year. And Marcus, you're going to owe me $100, bub.
Okay. I got a break on that thought. As we continue, the college football playoff is locked and loaded, but there is one team our guys think should have been locked out. You'll hear who that was coming up next. And then, if you're asking, why do Brady's Bucks start so slow and then get great? The answer is simple. Don't miss it. It's on the way in this hour of Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Capital One Bowl Mania is brought to you by Capital One. And the CFP semifinals are part of Capital One Bowl Mania, and the Rose Bowl game presented by Capital One will see number 4 Notre Dame taking on number 1 Alabama. That game has been moved to Dallas. The programs last played in January of 2013 in the last ever BCS championship game. The Tide won that game decisively, and they are an early, as you see, 19.5-point favorite to do it again. The other semifinal this year is number 3 Ohio State against number 2 Clemson in the All-State Sugar Bowl. That one's also New Year's Day. These teams met in the semis last year. That was a great game that Clemson won by a final score of 29-23. And there is always one of the beauties of the system, whether you love it or hate it, is it always creates a lot of conversation afterwards. Texas A&M finished 5. Oklahoma finished 6. Dan Orlovsky, do you believe the committee got it right?
No, I think Texas A&M should have been in. You know, like, here's my issue. I had both Ohio State and Texas A&M in back-to-back weeks. There's no way that I can sit here and tell everybody that Ohio State is a better football team than Texas A&M. There's no way that I could sit here and tell everybody that they are a more deserving football team than Texas A&M. There's no way that I could sit here and say they earned their way in more than Texas A&M. I think Jimbo Fisher said it well. Like, to have the 7 straight wins in the SEC is a big deal. And the fact that they play in the West with Alabama, if they can't win every game that's on their schedule outside of the Alabama game, they're never going to get in then. Like, what happens if Alabama continues to be Alabama? Then where are you telling Texas A&M they'll never be able to be in the college football playoff? I think Ohio State's a good football team, but I think Texas A&M is just as good. And my last thing would be this. I heard people saying yesterday, and I heard Paul Feinbaum say today, that he believes that the committee didn't want to do the Alabama versus Texas A&M matchup again. That's not their job. Their job is to pick the 4 best teams, not to worry about matchups, the 4 best teams. And there was nothing definitive that said Ohio State was better than Texas A&M.
RC, what do you think?
No, I agree. I agree with Dan 100%. And listen, I never want to, you know, get on here and boast or say that teams other than LSU should be in anything. But this is true. Texas A&M earned their right. And they understood after losing to Alabama the way that they did, that they had to continue winning. And you weren't going to have cupcakes. It was going to be an SEC team after SEC team each and every week. And when you watch the Ohio State Buckeyes, you don't look at that team and say that they're a top 4 team in the college football landscape. You don't look at that team and say that they have played that level of ball. Yes, they are the name. Yes, they came into the year with the quarterback. And yes, they fought to be in this position. But you think about the NCAA, you think about the Big Ten and all the concessions that have been made throughout this season to say that the Ohio State Buckeyes belong. They said it early on when they were picking the teams to be in the top 25. They said it late when they said, you know what, we're going to make a concession so they can be in the championship game. They do not deserve it. They did not earn it. And this was the year that the college football playoff committee could have gotten it right. It's 2020. It's a pandemic. Too many things are going on. You can say that another team could have been in and they didn't do it. They missed the boat this time. They missed an opportunity to be different and to be fair. And that's not right.
Rex, these were the 4 teams that I think most people expected to hear yesterday. Were they the right 4 teams?
Absolutely not. And when I look at it, it's Texas A&M. First off, when you don't want to see that game in the first round, then move Texas A&M to third. They're the 3rd best team. You don't go through and win 7 SEC games. All right? Ohio State won 6 games total in the Big Ten. No offense to the Big Ten, but they ain't the SEC. And then when you look at it, Notre Dame, anytime Notre Dame is in the ballpark to get in, oh, they're getting in.
They get in.
And I thought it was interesting. The chairman of the committee is from Iowa, right?
The Big AD 10, of Iowa.
The
correct.
AD, okay, of Iowa. It's amazing how a Big Ten team got in there. And I'm sorry, but they're going to get waxed by Clemson. We know what's going to happen. This is not the same team as Ohio State had last year.
We shall find out. Again, the decisions made yesterday always leaves a lot of room for discussion. Meanwhile, as we continue here, back to the NFL. If you're asking, why do Brady's Bucks start so slow and then get great? The answer is really simple, and you will hear it next.
11 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, Dan Orlovsky, it's a lot of football conversation, but right now I insist we talk about golf because Charlie Woods is awesome at it. That is Tiger's 11-year-old son. He fist pumps just like his dad does. Take a look at this. Dan Orlovsky, did you watch much of this weekend? Look at that.
It's all I watched. It was the only thing I cared about this weekend, and I get paid to talk about football. Like, this was the highlight of my weekend, watching this kid. That 5-wood he hit on the draw with the hole that he eagled was amazing. I love everything about I'm his biggest fan right now.
Me too. Rex just said it makes him want to quit golf to watch an 11-year-old be that good. Coming up, not pretty, but effective. Tua against the Pats. Next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. 5 games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis. And KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny, all of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started, telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A Hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
And we're back on Get Up. And for my money, the most entertaining game of the day was this, Cardinals-Eagles. Dan Orlovsky, let's pick it up with the Cardinals up in the first quarter and Kyler Murray doing his thing.
Yeah, down in the red zone, just the ability to make people miss is something that Kyler Murray and their run game does so special.
But both quarterbacks were spectacular in the first half. How about Jalen Hurts here on a fourth down play?
I love the feel. Man coverage, sprint left, pull up. Greg Ward sees it the same way, and they connect for that touchdown.
It's 19-14. We're still in the first half. How about this throw to Larry Fitzgerald?
It's great throw by Kyler Murray, but just the awareness of where you are in the back of the end zone for Larry Fitzgerald, and a great touchdown for the Cardinals.
So the Cardinals up 26-14. We're still in the first half. And here is Hurts again, his third touchdown pass of the half.
Yeah, great touch throw to that kind of back pylon, and an awesome job by Ward getting his feet down.
After a Murray interception, first and goal from the 12 for the Eagles, it's Hurts. Look at the power to take this in.
And the quickness of the decision. Everyone covers, the middle's vacated, and then the physicality, that 600-pound squat to run through Buda Baker, touchdown Philadelphia.
They missed the extra point, so we're tied at 26. Then DeAndre Hopkins took over for a little while. This is a nice play. It takes it down to the 40. The next one, Dan, might be as good a catch as we have seen all season
long. Contested catches. This is what separates him. Look at the ability to reach back, make the catch. That ball's going to get hit as he's reaching back and then hold it in one hand. That's the difference between Hopkins and basically everyone else in the NFL.
Murray threw for 406 and 3 touchdowns. Then the Eagles with 30 seconds to play. It's Hurts. Look at the poise as he scoops it and finds Dallas Goedert. Ultimately, it all comes down to this Hail Mary last chance for the Eagles.
And it's a great throw. I mean, the ability to put air on it, allow everybody to get in that end zone, and the Eagles are right there. And you're saying, can someone sell out for a dive? They're that close to pulling off that comeback.
In the end, Hurts, 338, 3 touchdowns. Coach, let's talk.
I thought he, had great poise out there, great leadership. Played obviously physically tough, mentally tough. Made some really good throws down the stretch, especially in the second half when we kind of had to, put a couple drives together. So, played well. Played really well. Take care of the football. I mean, those are all things we talk about, and he's able to do that. Plus, lead the team into the end zone. Yeah, I'll probably have a decision for you, tomorrow on next week.
And as a quick addendum to that, so Doug Peterson not naming Jalen Hurts as the starter yesterday, he was on his regular radio appearance this morning and said that he will probably have a decision by noon today. 12:30 Eastern today is when he meets with the media again, and he will probably have a decision by then. I need to ask Rex, because, I mean, you're a head coach. God. What is that? Like, what's he doing?
He do just playing with the media right now. Like, he's going to Carson Wentz is my guy. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah.
He talked about he played with poise, leadership. He took care of the football. All those type of things that, oh, by the way, the other cat that we gave $100 million to hadn't shown any of that. So we'll make that decision. I'm going to make that decision for you, Doug. We're going to go with Jalen Hurts. Okay, my friend. Done.
Not only that, but for the foreseeable future, which at this point looks very much like it includes next year. So, Dan Orlovsky, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't think Carson Wentz ever plays in Philadelphia again. And I know right now that everyone, this is the crush Carson Wentz year. I'll be very clear. Carson Wentz will play in the NFL again as a starting quarterback at a very high level. The talent is 100% still there. I believe in it. You have to go down the road, the difficult conversation road of what did 2017 do to you when you got injured and someone else took your family to Disney World? When I'm talking about took your football team to the Super Bowl. What did 2018 do to you when you watched that same person take your family to Disney World again? Like, what did that do to the self-doubt, right? What did that do to the self-doubt? And then what did 2019 do to your belief? Do you still believe in yourself that you're one of the baddest dudes in the NFL at that position? Those are conversations that I would have to have with whoever, whatever team is going to have Carson Wentz as their quarterback. But I don't think he does it in Philadelphia. I just don't see how you take Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. Listen, I was a part of a lot of really good quarterback rooms, a lot of really healthy ones that I know because of the relationship within the room impacted the starters' play positively. I was in quarterback rooms with Matt Schaub when he was a Pro Bowler, and I know that helped him play better. With Matthew Stafford, when he was playing as good as anybody in football, I know that that room on an everyday basis had a positive impact on him. They can't be in the same room together. There's not going to be any positivity that comes from that. That is going to be a very combative relationship. I don't see Carson Wentz as a Philadelphia Eagle next year.
RC, I mean, we touched on this earlier. Like, what? What's missing? What's wrong? Because we all see the talent. And that, to his point, you see Jalen Hurts come out and just play better with his team. Why?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I mean, it's hard to put your finger on it. And we've seen it more than one time. And I think that's the thing that's perplexing. And obviously, during the 2017 season, Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. I believe he would have won it had he finished the season. So Nick Foles taking that team to the Super Bowl wasn't really a thing where people were alarmed. But then you look at the next year when he's not playing well, when the team is not playing well, he goes down, and now Nick Foles has this team in the playoffs, and a ricochet pass off of Alshon Jeffrey away from beating the New Orleans Saints. And you start to say, okay, something is missing between Carson Wentz and this team. I think as the more Dan defends Carson Wentz, which I also believe Carson Wentz is extremely talented and can get this fixed elsewhere, the more he defends him, the more I don't want that dude on my team. Right? Remember how bad we crushed Aaron Rodgers when Jordan Love was picked, and people said that his personality might not work with having that backup quarterback and all the ways that he could make a quarterback room possibly miserable. We're talking about Carson Wentz doing the same thing. We're talking about how was Carson Wentz affected in 2017? How was he affected in 2018? How were you affected when Jalen Hurts was drafted? All of these things speak to Carson Wentz, the player off the field.
Right.
All of these things speak to Carson Wentz, the leader. And I'm not saying I believe that these things are true about him, because we are all speculating. I want to put that out. We're just guessing. We're just looking at things from the outside and figuring out our perceptions. But that's a problem. That's a problem in a leader. That's a problem in a teammate. And when you have a guy like Jalen Hurts who's fighting through all that, who's fighting through the tension in the quarterback room, fighting a coach that won't name him the starter for the rest of the season, and he's excelling, you have to take that into account and say, not only is it Jalen Hurts' play, but it's the person, and this is our starter going forward. Let's stop playing survivor every dang week.
I'm going to leave it here for another second, Nick, a producer back in Bristol, because we have not yet said something that I think needs to be said. How awesome is Jalen Hurts? I mean, Dan Orlovsky, this is a guy that no one believes in, and to the point, like, everywhere he goes, people don't believe in him. They didn't believe him in Alabama. He went to Oklahoma. He kept on winning. No one believes him in Philadelphia. He's spectacular yesterday.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out for him, Greeny, is the situational piece that he plays with. You know, like, that's very rare. Like, the third and fourth downs, I mean, fourth down, and the ability to pull up as he sprints out left and a guy with Greg Ward that kind of sees it the same way, feels it the same way, and he makes that throw. The fourth down where, okay, now the pocket's all over the place and I can scramble and go use my legs and avoid a hit. You know, that's something that we've talked about with Carson Wentz. Again, fourth down, backed up, get the ball out on time to Jalen Reagor on that stop route, or Fulgham on that stop route. And so, you know, when the moment seems really big and feels really big, you can almost be like Jalen Hurts can put his finger on his pulse and it's just a, you know, the heart rate never goes up. And I think that's a really, really, really big deal. And so that's why, like, this is such a big picture thing. It's not just a singular thing or a singular person attached to the situation. Jalen Hurts has had the door opened, and he's been given an opportunity. He has gone, I'm going to run through this opportunity, right? We have to give him credit for that. Part of that opportunity was Carson Wentz's poor play. I can't sit here and say he's the future of the Philadelphia Eagles, but he hasn't shown me a reason to say that he's not.
And let me finish it with this, because anyone who was watching Countdown or paying attention yesterday, you saw the report from Adam Schefter, and it was up on the screen here, that Carson Wentz has made it clear he doesn't want any part of being a backup. And those stories don't just come out of nowhere. So my question to you, Rex, is today, if you're Doug Peterson and you're the coach, that story is out there. The kid played so great. What are you saying to Carson Wentz?
Nothing. Why do I have to say a word to you? Look, we get it. Nobody wants to be a backup. But you had a starter. You never earned the job to keep the job. So, and Carson, maybe one thing I would tell you, you're not the only one disappointed that you're not the starter. Every single person in that franchise that went to bat for you to say, let's give this cat $100 million guaranteed, every one of them, you think you're ticked off? You ought to see the rest of us. We're ticked off because you aren't the guy we thought you were. And you know, I got to say this. Jalen Hurts, okay, one thing I never questioned. I know he's a winner, and he's a competitor, all those things we've seen. This is the SEC Offensive Player of the Year twice, okay? I mean, a stud that way. I never thought this guy had the physical talent, the skill set, the arm talent, all those type of things to be a difference maker, a franchise quarterback. And I'll be the first one to say, but right now what I'm seeing is, you know what? I'm not wrong very often in some of these. It looks like I'm wrong on this one.
He looks spectacular.
Greedy.
Yeah,
can
Dan.
Can I add one thing? Sorry. Go. I think this is a great opportunity also for Carson Wentz to humble himself. Everything that we've heard over like the last 2 or 3 months. Humble yourself.
Yes.
And listen, you can learn from this situation. Like, Jalen Hurts is renowned for his leadership, his work ethic, his ability to galvanize his teammates, the personality. Those are the things that we're hearing that Carson Wentz might be a little bit flawed in, right? Humble yourself and go, I can learn from this kid and make myself better for the long run. I think this is actually, it's a great opportunity for Carson Wentz to absolutely grow as a player.
That's fair. But you know what the opposite of that is? The opposite of that is a story on the day of the biggest game of your season which Carson Wentz doesn't want any part of being a backup and he wants out of town. That's the opposite of humbling yourself and growing. Okay, where do we go next? Someone tell me. I have now just taken over complete control. Let's run the hurry up. Focusing on the AFC playoff picture. RC, Titans beat the Lions. They hang on to the 4 spot. What is your biggest takeaway?
That Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill are doing it again, right? Derrick Henry's having these dominant performances where he's slapping dudes aside the head, throwing them out of bounds under the bench, and Ryan Tannehill is playing play-action pass, dropping dimes, and also scrambling out of the pockets, diving into end zones, showing that he used to play wide receiver and was an athlete at Texas A&M. This is going to be a team that's tough to beat in the playoffs.
Dan, Colts beat the Texans with the help of an amazing play by Darius Leonard. Are they a true AFC Super Bowl contender?
They're right there, Greeny. You know, when their defensive line plays as good as it did yesterday, even versus Deshaun Watson, 5 sacks, Buckner, Autry, Houston are playing really good. They're averaging over 5 yards a carry here in the last month. That's a big deal for their offense, and Rivers is being efficient. They play like that, they're going to be very difficult to beat.
And another contender, Rex, the Ravens throttle the Jaguars. Great day for Lamar Jackson. What are we seeing?
Yeah, Greeny. I mean, first off, this team's not even in the playoff hunt, but I have a feeling they're going to make it. But Lamar Jackson, I think he reminded everybody that, oh, you know what? That's right. Last year I won the MVP for a reason. He's still a superstar. And to me, you want to talk about a dangerous team? When they get in, and that's what I said, when they get in,
the playoffs. They will be dangerous. Expectations will be much lower.
They're not in it right now because the Dolphins are in front of them and the Patriots are playing for their playoff lives. And we all know that Bill Belichick tends to dominate rookie quarterbacks. And Dan Orlovsky, here's Tua throwing a pick. They were scoreless in the first half. Belichick doing his magic.
Just an incredible drive by the Dolphins. Almost 20 plays and all of a sudden he gets hit. A little bit late, interception.
On the other side of it, the Patriots, and this is the story of their season, they just basically have no offense.
Yeah, Cam's been forced to scramble. This is almost a huge play. Xavien Howard picks up that fumble, goes all the way the distance, and you're thinking that's the turnover, really, that the Dolphins needed to jumpstart their day. It ends up getting called back because that guy was out of bounds and he touches it. But this was the story. The Dolphins' defense got hot throughout that afternoon.
And then in the third quarter, the Dolphins are down 9-7, and Tua started to cook a little bit. Here's a nice play here as he manages to take it in for the score, and the Dolphins win it 22-12. Tua does put together a big second half, two rushing touchdowns. The Patriots are officially eliminated from playoff contention. I just have a second. Dan, quick recap. What do you think of Tua's performance?
Yeah, it felt like an early Tom Brady career performance. You know, like they're decimated on offense, no one to throw the ball to. The only way that they're going to lose that game is if Tua is careless with the football, takes a ton of sacks, stays behind the chains. Right? Their defense is going to slow down that New England offense. I loved how quick he was with his decision-making and then his ball placement. A lot of these RPOs that they ran with motion, it was about making quick decisions, getting the ball out of his hands, being absolutely premier with your accuracy. That allowed that offense to kind of stay in rhythm, stay ahead of the chains. Only took one sack after that first quarter. Tua impresses me more and more every single week because of the non-talented stuff. The talent stuff I've talked about a ton, but just the management of the football game for that specific week was big, and I thought he was the difference between them winning and them losing, and it had nothing to do with his stats.
RC, super quick. Tua, what do you see?
I see toughness. I see grit. Yeah. I see a competitor. I see a leader, and that's exactly what Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins expected to get when they got Tua Tagovailoa. You look at the second half of the last 2 weeks against Kansas City, he's being pressured. He's making the right decision, making the right throws, gets that team back in the game. And yesterday, protects the football, but has the two big touchdown runs where he tucks the ball, doesn't make a mistake, but shows the toughness to get into the end zone. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a star, and they have their quarterback of the future.
And Rex, why do I feel like you have four words for us?
I told you so.
Oh, gosh. Get lost, man.
Where's those Ryan Fitzpatrick? I need him to be a starter. Dano talked about who's going to lose a game.
Get
Ryan Fitzpatrick would have lost that game. Are you kidding me?
Can't hear you.
Come on, he would have been careless, turned the football over. This is why this kid is here. God, I love being right. I'm batting about 90. I'm about 98% right, I think.
Yeah, you're the Tony Gwynn of this. We're taking a quick break as we continue. If you're asking yourself, why do Tom Brady's Bucs start so slow and then get great? We can answer that question, and we will next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Our next Monday Night Football matchup is a big one for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. They take on the Bengals tonight. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And with that, we welcome you back into our studios. Greeny, Rex Ryan, Ryan Clark, and Dan Orlovsky with us as well. We're with you commercial-free for the next 9 minutes, and that's when First Take will come your way at the top of the hour. And part of that show today will be Stephen A's live interview with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. That's in the second hour, 11:30 Eastern. First Take with Stephen A, Max, and Molly coming up after top of the hour here after we wrap up. Get up again with you commercial-free for the next 8.5 minutes. Let's roll. The Jets finally got their first win of the season yesterday, beating the Rams. But a win can be just as much of a loss, as the Jets fell out of first place in the sweepstakes to draft Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. And here is how the New York Daily News, always subtle in its reaction, responded. The Grinches stole Trevor as the New York Jets wind up losing by winning yesterday. And look, we said it. You have to be happy for the players. No one wants to go 0-16. Dan, you lived through that. I mean, the players don't deserve that. They've played hard all the way through. But Rex, what can we say about this win for the Jets?
This will, you know, this win will only be felt for the next 15 years. I'm being honest with you. And as a Jet fan, I wanted Trevor Lawrence here in the Big Apple. And I'm just telling you, he's a generational talent. And it's like, well, no, this other kid from Ohio State's good. Okay. We're going to see that. No, or you're going to, or what's going to happen is, and look, you got a huge decision. Who's going to be the next coach? Mm-hmm. Please don't just bring in a quarterback guy, a guy that's got a vision. Hey, this is how I'm going to make Sam Darnold better. Bring a guy in that's going to have a vision for the entire football team. That's what you need right there. And unfortunately, this loss, I think, is
well, it's devastating. I mean, there's no other way to say it. From the franchise, it's devastating. Dan Orlovsky, if you have that decision we made right now, are you drafting Justin Fields or are you sticking with Sam Darnold?
No, I'm sticking with Sam Darnold. That is the best option now at the number two pick, because even if both Jacksonville and the Jets finish with one win, the Jags, because of their schedule, will have the number one pick. And so I'd stick with Sam Darnold. I still believe in Sam Darnold 100%. They need to surround him with good people. The good thing for the Jets is Joe Douglas had a really good draft in his first draft as a general manager, right? And so you're looking at all the picks that they have, and you're going, okay, I can keep Sam Darnold. I can trade away that second pick or take someone like a Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith. I can then build around that quarterback that I thought could be a really good player a couple years ago. And so I still think that between Sam Darnold and Justin Fields, Sam Darnold is the selection.
RC, your thoughts?
No, I agree. Listen, if you're moving forward, Sam Darnold has to be your guy. And you have to figure out what you want to do with the second pick. If it's package it and get more picks and continue to build this team. If you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, if you don't have that guy that you feel is a runaway franchise quarterback, an all-time great, then you don't do it. And also, to Rex's point, bring in the guy that has a vision for a team. Bring in the guy that has a vision for a future, for an organization, not just some dude that you think can fix your quarterback because he coached extremely well with Peyton Manning, who ran the offense, or had a good year with Jay Cutler. Find a dude who understands delegation, who understands how to make sure everyone is on the same page, and chemistry in the locker room works for him. Until then, you can't win anyway.
I think that's fair. Let's leave it there for the moment. Let's get to something yesterday that was fascinating, and that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady against Matt Ryan. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard Matt Ryan jumping out to a huge lead against Tom Brady before? Yeah, it seems that's happened. And you know what, Dan? Yesterday in the first half, Matt Ryan was cooking.
Yeah, when you have the time to get to number three in your progression, you know, Calvin Ridley kind of runs that rack of the end line back to the front pylon touchdown, and it was great. And this was the story for the Bucs, like their inability to keep Tom Brady clean, his having to move in the pocket and the pressure. There's no blitz package. There's no blitz protection plan. And Tom Brady was hit way too much in the first half.
Was 17-0 Falcons at halftime, early third. Brady trying to get it back again, and this is a great throw to Mike Evans.
Oh, my goodness. This is an absolute laser. Like, watch the back angle. You're going to see Brady go from the left. He's going to snap his head to the right, snap your head to the right, and just throw that absolute rocket to Mike Evans. One of the best throws of the day.
And Leonard Fournette would take it in from there. So the Bucs are now within 17-7. But Ryan wasn't done. He hits Hayden Hurst here. The Falcons with a commanding 24-7 lead. The Bucs are finished, right? Wrong. Second and goal for Tampa. Here comes Chris Godwin.
I like the fact that they got Godwin on a little bit of a short motion, get the ball out, easy completion, and then Brady gets Gronk one-on-one. You got to give him that contested physical ball, easy completion for those two.
And then Leonard Fournette would have two touchdowns on the day. Here's the second one. So they cut it to 24-21. Then the teams would exchange field goals. And here's your moment. Bucks down 27-24. 6 minutes and change to go. And how about this play to Antonio Brown?
Yeah, my body hurt shoveling snow last week. Tom Brady's 43 throwing this absolute missile 50 yards on a rope to AB. Just a beautiful throw by Tom Brady. He got hot in that second half.
He threw for, as Dan said earlier, a quiet 390 yards yesterday. And then the defense closed the door. Devin White on Matt Ryan, and that's all she wrote. Buccaneers come all the way back. They win at 31-27. Bruce Arians, your thoughts.
My comments to the team after the game is, if we could play 30 minutes like that, why the hell can't we play 60? And it's frustrating. But Tom has always been, he's always been a fourth quarter player. So it's kind of what we expect to do.
Okay, so everyone, Ryan Clark, is asking a very simple question. Why is it the Buccaneers seem to start so bad and then get so good every week? RC, what is the answer?
The answer is, in the first half, we're doing everything Bruce Arians and the coaching staff taught us throughout the week. In the second half, we look at number 12 and say, hey, Tom, what the hell should we do? Because when we do what you do, we play better. There's your answer. First half is about Bruce Arians. The second half is about Tom Brady, his greatness, his leadership, and his understanding of what he's seen in the first half. And we watch him go through his progression. You watch him find the correct matchup, and this team rolls that way. And until Bruce Arians can understand, you know what, let's utilize Tom Brady's knowledge. Let's do some of the things that makes him feel comfortable. Let's protect him the way that he's used to being protected. You will still have these first half. You will still have these issues until you see what Tom Brady can do, like the second half of the Kansas City Chiefs game and yesterday against the Atlanta Falcons.
Dan, you sent a note early in the game yesterday saying that the Bucs were trying to overcome their coaching. I feel like that was the words that you described. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of touches to what RC says. It's like every week I watch this team and I watch them do the same stuff over and over and over again. And I know that coaches go like, well, we just got to get our execution right. But also your job is to help that execution get right. And I don't think that they do anything to help the execution. I've touched on that. And it's like, listen, that throw from Brady to Mike Evans, that's a hard throw. I mean, you're not talking about creating separation because of your scheme. This ball by Brady to AB, that's a hard throw. That you got to go whoop a dude on the outside, AB, which he does, and then you got to go make that throw. That's difficult. Like, everything is very difficult. And I watch, like, offensive football get played nowadays, and I see so many different coaches kind of minimizing the need for, like, a high level of execution. I've talked about that with the Bucs. I got two issues with the Bucs, really. First of all, they've played 14 games, right? Am I right with that? They've played 14?
Yes.
Half of them, they've had double-digit deficits. Half? Like, yep. We're celebrating a win over a four-win Atlanta team. They didn't come back and beat Seattle like this. They beat a four-win Atlanta team. And this is the last thing I'll say. I've never coached, right? I don't like when Bruce Arians goes, why can't our team play that way?
Yeah.
That's your job. Your job isn't to tell us what the problem is. Your job is to tell us what the solutions are.
Quick final thought, Rex. Go.
Yeah, you have Tom Brady as your quarterback. Act like it. Let him have the reins, and we'll see you in the Super Bowl, man. Sit back. Go play all the golf you want. Give the team to Tom Brady. It's what you should have been doing the whole season. I'm sick and tired of it. You want to see how good Tom Brady is? Look at the Patriots, how sorry they are.
The last time they scored any points in the first quarter was November 15th. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take, now.